The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, this is Dave, and I'm from Lake in the Hills, Illinois, and I listen to Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 198 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com. My host, my co-host with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
We're off to a good start, huh?
Yeah, we're off to a good start. I'm just a little... How are you, Michelle? What's new?
Well, Mike, you know, I know this is a running podcast, but I have to say that I'm a little unhappy with the Red Sox. I don't know if you heard that last year they won the World Series. This year, maybe not so much. So, we got to go to a game the other night. I don't know. I knew two people on the roster, I think. It's a sad, sad thing.
Oh, well.
All right. So, we have lots of announcements again, and we will ask you to indulge us as we talk about some of our announcements. The first one is we have two meetups at the Dumbo Double Dare, August 30th and 31st, and you can check out our Facebook page for all the details with that. But we'll be meeting at the Territory Lounge on the 30th and at the Ice Cream Parlor after the half marathon on the 31st on Main Street. And then we're going to go on Pirates. Yay! And if people want to... We're getting close to that 200th show, Mike, and can you tell people what they need to do if they want to share how Running Disney has changed their lives?
We would love to hear from anyone and everyone who has seen a change in their lives since partaking in any Run Disney event, and this could run into any topic, so we want to hear from you. We want to celebrate with you, so please give us a call at 407-545-2141 and leave a message. And please also feel free to do a show opening. You can say, "Hi, my name is Mickey Mouse, and I'm from Orlando, Florida, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast." And you never know when your voice will be heard at the next show opening.
All right. Ready for a shout-out?
Ready for a shout-out.
So our shout-out is to our buddy Chad Wyrick. He's from Boston, and I noticed that he's having some medical issues, which we all have from time to time, that's stopping him from running. So, Chad, we're thinking of you and hope you're able to get out there again very soon.
And that goes for me, too. Michelle, it's time to do some questions again because we don't want them to get too far ahead of us, so we want to address them.
Yeah, we've had a lot of questions, and we thank everybody who wrote in. Our first question is really a comment. It's from Helen Harthill, and she says, "I enjoy listening to your podcast, but the sound is so off between all the hosts and guests, I constantly have to adjust the volume. Michelle sounds like she's a mile from the microphone, while Tara, when Tara was on, I guess, is loud and proud. Mike fades in and out like he's moving in and out from the microphone." So thanks for letting us know. Helen, Mike, do you want to talk about this?
Yes, Helen. Thank you for sending in that comment. We've been having some issues. Sometime we've changed the way we record, and we're going through an adjustment period also with the... With all the software I'm using to adjust this, I'm still learning a little bit here and there. We're trying to do the best job we can. I'll tell you that I listen to every show while I'm producing it, trying to get it as even as possible. I think that I've Been able to figure out a few things here and there, and just bear with us, and we'll try to do the best job we can. I know how it feels because I've been on the other side listening to podcasts, and it drives me crazy when the volume changes. So let's hope that things will improve.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know. I know Mike does the post-production on the show, and he sometimes spends 2 or 3 hours on each show tweaking it. So we will do the best we can, Helen. All right, next question, Mike.
Comes from Carolyn Brew from Cumming, Georgia. And she says, Mike and Michelle, after completing my first half marathon at the Princess this year, I've got the 2016 Walt Disney World Marathon in my sights. My husband has been very supportive during this running adventure, but has not run a race himself. Recently, he told me he's thinking about running the Dopey in 2016, after not completing even a half marathon. Although he is considering Wine and Dine in 2015, for him, it's all or nothing. I think with proper training he could finish, but the problem is that I don't want him to finish the Dopey before I do. I want to finish just the marathon first. I plan to save the Dopey for further motivation down the road. How do I convince him to only run the marathon with me? Help me talk him down. Michelle?
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, it's nice that he wants to run with you. I think that's great. We don't know, you know, what his fitness level is, but I think the first thing I would do is say, hey, I want you to only run the marathon with me first. Would that be okay? Mike and I have talked a lot on the show, as have other guests, about the importance of not doing too much too fast, but also savoring the experience and kind of savoring your accomplishments before you move on to. Everybody seems to put out there the Dopey because it's a big endurance event, but you want to have fun. You also want to keep dreams and goals there for you to be able to tackle down the road, and you want to be safe. So I don't know your husband, but I would say really tackle a few half marathons before you do a marathon. I would never do a marathon as part of the goofy or Dopey weekend as your first marathon. We've said this on the podcast many, many times before. It is really, really difficult to do. And definitely with training, you can if you give yourself enough time. But there's training, but there's also gaining some race smarts and race know-how. And when you go to these races, you're going to learn what it's like to run with thousands of other people, how you feel getting up several hours before you run and, you know, standing in the corral, how you manage your nutrition when you're away at Walt Disney World. It's a lot different than just going out and running 4 days in a row at home. You're learning about the race and the race environment. So I would say wait and, you know, keep it in your sights, but stay with your wife, Carolyn, and run some halves first and then run the full with her. Mike?
One of the things that I have found out from everyone, including yourself, Michelle, who did the Dopey, saying that it's not the running that's the big deal there. It's the getting up every day at well before dawn, going to bed early, and keeping yourself in check for 4 days, and it drives a lot of you crazy. Sure, you did an amazing accomplishment. You ran a 5, a 10, a half, and a full, and, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at, but the idea of getting up early for 4 days in a row is also part of the training that a lot of people don't realize. And the other thing is a lot of people don't realize, and you say, Carolyn, that he's not a runner. And, you know, I think that one of the things that a lot of people do is they'll run a 5K for their very first race, and next year I'm running the half. A lot of people are able to do it. A lot of people don't. It's when you ask and request your body to perform at a certain level, your body is going to turn around and say, you need to commit to helping me get there. You need to commit to training. So I would be very cautious. I would echo what Michelle said. Take baby steps. I think going from not running at all to Dopey is a marathon in itself, and you have to really, really take it very slowly. So good luck. let us know what happens.
Yeah, let us know what happens. Maybe we can have him on the show and see what his rationale is. All right. The next question that we have is from Cindy Acey, who's from Colorado. And she says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I'm training for my first After Dark race, the 2014 Tower of Terror 10-miler. And I have a question about lighting during the race. On my night training runs, I wear a headlamp. Do runners in night races wear them? I know that they can be very annoying if the wearer is not careful when looking at others. And listening to last year's race recap, Mike mentioned the low light, uneven ground, and especially on the trail portion. Another option I thought of is holding a small LED flashlight, but that can be a problem when opening gels on the run and shifting water. What is your experience? Thank you for the great advice. Mike?"
Well, Cindy, about 2 years ago, Michelle gave me a very expensive gift. It was $2.50.
It was, I think, $3.50.
$3.50.
It doesn't matter how much it costs.
I know. It's the thought that counts. And yeah. I've used it so much because most of my training runs are real early in the morning. When I've been able to run early in the morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock, when it's really dark. And I need to see lighting because I've had some ambulatory issues with injuries to my ankle and knee, and I want to make sure that I see where I land. I also wear this, it looks like headlights, but you put them on the bill of your visor of your hat, and you can turn them on with just a hit of a button with your thumb, and you can have them blink and you can have them just steady. And I actually
Isn't it like 4 or 5 across LED lights?
Very small LED lights. And I have used them for the Tara Terra, and I've used them for Wine and Dine. I used them last year. And there are some places where everything is well lit, and there are other places where not everything is well lit, and I need to make sure that I see where I'm running. It's very important at night, more so than during the day, to be able to see where you're running. And one of the reasons why I will wear them for every Disney race is that the very first Tower of Terror race, the lights went out when we got on to Buena Vista Drive, and a lot of us were in the dark. I mean, complete dark. And those of us who were together, there must have been about 50 of us, and we all said, "Hey, we're not going to run. We're going to walk." We walked because you never know what you're going to be stepping on. And I didn't have anything to light the way, and so my suggestion is to think about something that, I mean, number one, if you wear a visor or a hat, this will be very helpful. You can bring a small flashlight, but you have to hold it. This you just wear on your hat, and when you need them, you just put them on, and when you don't need them, you don't. For nighttime races, I will never be without them. They're very handy. Like I said, I wear them almost every time when I run in the dark. I'd rather have it than not be without it. And the whole idea is safety first, so I would recommend them very, very much.
So she's talking about for that race specifically. Did you wear your headlamp for that? You did.
Yes.
Okay. So personally, I didn't find the low light levels to be that big a deal. There were some places that I thought the light was lower. Some lights were out. I wouldn't run with a headlamp for that one myself, and I don't think I would bring a flashlight either, just another thing to carry. I think Mike's option is a really good one because you could just have it there if you wanted to. But you know, even on that trail, there were some very low light areas, but there were also some floodlights too. It's not something to me that I would consider a huge, huge deal. And I agree with Mike. Just, you know, when those areas come about, just walk. But and I walked on the trail. It wasn't for the low light level. It was because of the gravel that was on there. I was afraid of twisting an ankle, which I would have walked if it was daylight too. So, Mike, I think that visor idea is a good idea.
Very good, very good, very good idea. Thank you very much for getting them.
It's really cheap to replace too. You just stick it on the brim of your hat. Though you are going to have to wear a hat at night.
True, but you know, or a visor. You can wear a visor.
Yeah, or a visor.
Mm-hmm. We should probably say you found them on Amazon.com.
Yeah. Hopefully, our show notes guy Rich will find the link. If not, we can find it. But it's pretty easy. Just do, you know, visor, mm-hmm. headlamp type of thing, and mm-hmm. it clips on. Yeah, I didn't realize it blinks, though, too.
Yeah, I can blink it so it doesn't have to be steady.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's maybe that saves battery. I don't know.
Yeah, when I did the Reach the Beach races, too, a lot of people, we had to wear blinky lights and things like that. A lot of people had those visor things on, and they're very, it weighs very little.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it probably weighs less than a package of gel.
Mm. Okay, are you reading the next one? Or
I'll be reading the next one.
Knock yourself out.
Did I read the last one?
I don't remember. I think I did.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I will be participating in the Disney Princess Half Marathon. Oh, this is from Megan. Hi, Megan.
Okay. Hi, Megan.
Megan says, I will be participating in the Disney Princess Half Marathon, which is my first run Disney event.
Woohoo!
I am meeting a friend in Orlando to run the race with, but will also be traveling with two other friends who will not be participating in the race. Our tentative travel plans at this moment are to drive down on Saturday and stay until Wednesday, doing parks Sunday afternoon, Monday, and Tuesday. From your experience doing these races, do you think I'm taking too much on after running 13.1 miles? I've been running about 8 months and will be completing my first half marathon in November outside of Walt Disney World, and I just want to plan smart for my first run Disney race. All right, Michelle, so Megan wants to know if her plans to do a lot of the park touring after the race is a good idea.
So she's going to, it sounds like she's going to be making the most of her day and doing a full park day. Several full park days. So, Megan, it really depends on you and your experience level. I would definitely train yourself after you do your race in November and after you do your other training runs leading up to the Princess. If you run, you know, 10 miles, 11 miles in your training run, make sure that you get out the next day and start moving. At this point in my running, when I run 13 miles, I don't really feel it, but I know after I did my first half marathon at Walt Disney World, the thing I remember most, I was actually with Matt Hochberg, Mike from WDW today. We met up and we were hanging out a little bit, and going down the stairs, we were riding Toy Story Mania, going down the stairs to where you go on the ride vehicle. Oh, it just killed. My legs were killing me. So the more really, the more running you do to get yourself ready for that race, and the more activity you do the day at, you know, the after the races and the days after the race, I think will be an indicator. So I would definitely plan on getting out and moving around. Only you will know. You'll probably be a little bit sore, but I think that if anything can take your mind off of it, touring Walt Disney World parks will do it. What do you think, Mike?
You know, it's funny, when you were talking about the first time you ran half, I remember how much I struggled, and I don't know.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I broke my ankle too, but
yeah,
that was
that,
part
was
of it.
Half?
But my first half back in 2006, and once that was completed and I started running a lot more long distance runs, my body was able to recover. And I think what happens is that your body learns how to recover and learns how to recover faster every time. I think that one of the things that you have to think about is when you're training, how you do recover and what you need to do as you recover. So as you're training for your very first half marathon or whatever, pay attention to what you read online or what people say about recovering with the chocolate milk. Make sure you have the protein, the carbs, everything. And your body will learn to recover quickly so that when that day comes, when you are going to be touring the parks every day, you'll be okay. So just like anything else, it's not just preparing to run the race, but what you have to do afterwards.
Yeah, it's true. And I know I've said it on the podcast many times before, but I followed Jeff Galloway's training program for the Dopey, and I know he has them out there for the Princess. And Mike, you can attest to this. After the Dopey, after the marathon day, not only did I walk 10 more miles that day after the marathon, but also the next day, I was fine. I was absolutely fine. And I think it's because I followed the training to the T. I did everything that he said that I should do, and I was absolutely fine. So follow your training program. You should be fine, Megan.
Yep. I think you've given very good advice, Michelle.
Thank you, Mike. So the next question is from Kay, and Kay wants to know, I think this could be a podcast unto itself. Do you think that Disney would ever create a villains-themed Run Disney event? It seems that Disney has been doing more and more theme park events in the last couple of years, focusing on villains theme. There are several recent Run Disney blog posts highlighting villain-themed costumes. I think it would be awesome to have a villains-themed event at either Disneyland or Disney World around Halloween. Maybe an evening run followed by a late-night party. Have you ever heard of any rumors about an event like this from anyone in the Disney running community? If you were planning an event, how would you structure it? Thanks for all of the great podcasts. I've learned a great deal about Disney and running from listening. So, Mike, a villain-themed Disney race. What do you think?
I think yes. I think that they would create something like this. I think what it would be a villains weekend, though, and I think that they would name a particular race after each villain that they would be covering. It could be you know, the Maleficent Magnificent 5K. It could be the Captain Hook's half marathon, Hook's half marathon, or something like that. I think it would be hilarious. I think it would be fun. I think what would be nice would be everybody getting a chance to have a photo opportunity with all the the villains. It would be fun to see what Rudy and Carissa would have, you know, what they would be wearing as they announce the race. I think that if it was just going to be one race, it would have to be at night, because villains are very evil and they do a lot of bad stuff at night.
You seem to know a lot about villains. Why is that?
Well, I'm villainous, and I think that I think it would be fun. I think that your idea, Kay, of it being around Halloween is a good idea. Possibly they may...
That would be a nice replacement for the Tower of Terror.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... I don't think there would be any issue with anybody if they changed the theming from Tower of Terror Race Weekend to Villains, Run Disney Villains Race Weekend. A villainous weekend, they could call it, or something like that. I think it would be good. I haven't heard any rumors. I think a late night party would be good. I don't think that the parties really work in the studios. I think they work best in Epcot. And I think for this particular thing, if we were going to see it run in October or Halloween, it would be during Food and Wine. So I think it would be best to have that type of a party in Epcot. So, you know, Kay, I think it would be nice. I think it would make for some very interesting medals that have yet to be made. So I would love to see something like this.
Oh, I think it would be really fun, too. And I understand why she would think that maybe Run Disney's thinking about this. I don't know, Mike, if you've seen the recent blogs. Lots of focus on Run Disney villains, or Disney villains in the Run Disney blog. So... I think it would be really fun. It just occurred to me that the Tower of Terror 10-miler is the only race around an attraction. That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everest.
Oh, yeah. The Expedition Everest. So I haven't done that one, so maybe that's why I forgot about it. But I think it would be, wouldn't this be fun, to have the race end up in the Magic Kingdom and have a runner's version of the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Wouldn't that be neat?
That would be neat, and that's why, you know, having it around October would be good. I just don't know if the logistics would work
the party starts in September, so well, that what Halloween is. No, but I you know, September, October, with it ending in the Magic Kingdom for a party, you know, like Not So Scary, I think would just be a blast.
Okay, that would work if they did the following thing. Number one, they would have to close the park at 7 o'clock. They would have to allocate the villain side of... They would not have any guests parking at the villain side after 7 o'clock, they would ask all the race participants to park on the villain's side of the parking lot and make their way to the Magic Kingdom. The race would start, I don't know where the race would start, if it would be a 10K or whatever. There's so many logistics involved when you're dealing with the Magic Kingdom.
I agree. I don't necessarily want to think about the logistics, but I'm just thinking, I've run a race, now I get to go trick-or-treating and get to see the fantastic parade. That would be so fun.
It'd be fun, but, you know, and it would be one of those deals where maybe it would have to go to the, again, it would have to go to 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
yeah. It's possible.
I'm up for that.
Yeah.
Would you dress up?
Let's see, who would I be? Boy, who would I be? I guess I'd dress up like Gaston, maybe.
Gaston?
Yeah, he's a villain.
That's cool.
Yeah, why not?
Very nice.
Thanks, everybody, for those questions. We're all caught up, and keep them coming. The more, the merrier. Remember to always think of it this way. The question you ask may be the question that a lot of other people would love to have answered. So
Have asked.
We thank you for bringing, we thank everyone again for sending in questions. Please feel free to ask any and every question that you can think of. And if we can't find the answer out of our own heads, we'll find it somewhere. So thank you once again. Michelle, anything to say before we sign off?
No, thank you for sending in questions and send some more in. Thanks.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality of vacation homes for your next Walt Disney World vacation, especially if you are looking for luxury, convenience, and above all, affordability. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com. And by MEI-Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, serving the Disney community for over 15 years with expert advice and fee-free services to help you maximize your vacation dollar and time. Give them a try at MEI-Travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.